Today's scripture reading comes in 1 Peter 1, verses 10 to 1, 10 to 12. Concerning this salvation, prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of these things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Please pray with me for the word. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before you with humble heart because we love you, Lord. We come before you now to hear your word because we love you, Lord. Open our hearts, open our ears to hear. And help us to understand, Lord, what you speak to us. Father, remind all of us here that nobody here this morning is here to listen to Ansikli. Everybody is here to listen to Jehovah God Almighty. Speak to us, Lord, that we, as your people, may live according to your word and glorify your name. I pray this in your name. Amen. Today's message can be understood through this outline. Our God uses the whole cast of these characters in his great divine story to lead us to salvation. How does he do that? And who are these cast of characters? First of all, prophets. It is through the prophets of the Old Testament, pointing forward to the revealing of Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is through preachers. It is through the preaching of God's word that people come to faith. Third and finally, it is through Christ Jesus and through the Holy Spirit that we come to receive the gospel, that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want to focus on these cast of characters who help us, who guide us, who lead us into knowing God and putting our faith in Christ. Now, how many of you in this room have ever watched this movie called Back to the Future? Oh, probably most of you. It's kind of an old school movie, you know. Back to the Future, it was really popular in the 80s, 90s. As far as I can remember, they, you know, made 3 or 4 Back to the Future series, right? And for those of you who have not watched it, it's about time travel. It's about this boy, this young man named Marty, and this eccentric scientist, inventor, Doc Brown. Do you all remember? And what they do in the movie is that with the time machine that he invented, they would use his time machine to go back in time or back to the future. You know, just going back and forth to the past, to the future, traveling, you know, space-time continuum. And this movie reveals how words are actions, or actions. Our choices, or their choices in the past could alter, could change the future in the ways that nobody could imagine. So do you recall how Marty would try to kind of change the future by changing the past? But how in the movie, what happens is that he can't. Like, you can't kind of mess with the past. You can't mess with what's happening right now because it'll impact the future. So do you remember when Marty went back to the past He wasn't even born, and he was not even aware. He was not able to understand at that very moment how everything would end up in the future. Now, what I want to make point of is this. Just like the movie, in reality, like, we don't know. That we can't know. As humans, we don't know, right? Like, right now, we only see what's right in front of us, in the present. And we don't know how things are going to end up in the future. Because we don't know what the future holds. What we do know is that God is already there. Amen? God is already there in the future. He sees our entire life from beginning to end, start to finish, in one shot, in one glance. He sees the entirety of our lives. He sees all things. He knows all things, start to finish. And God uses a whole cast of characters in this story to lead us to eternal life. So, the first group, the first characters that God uses are prophets. Do you know what a prophet is? We hear that a lot in the Old Testament, right? Prophets. I'll give you a simple definition. A prophet is one who is inspired by God. Prophets were inspired by God. They were given a word, a message from God to deliver to the people. And so the people in the Old Testament, right? The people of Israel, they were hungry. They were hungry to hear from the Lord through prophets. And so they were like, what does the Lord have to tell us today? Do you have a word from the Lord? And so they would constantly seeking out for these prophets. And the prophet would deliver what God wanted him to deliver to his people. But do you know what the interesting part is? As they were telling the people about their future, or the future, foretelling about the future, how things might the future bring, the prophets themselves didn't always know exactly what they're prophesying. They didn't know. Yes, God gave them a message to deliver to the people, but oftentimes they just didn't have a clue how all of this would end up, because it was sometime in the future. So they sought out, they inquired, they searched, they asked for what and when. However, God revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, their own generation, but they were serving you. They were serving us. You see, the Old Testament prophets, they were telling the people at that time what God's words was saying, but it was revealed to us, to our generation, what the future holds. How everything has come true. All of God's promises come true in Jesus Christ. So Peter writes this letter, and he reminds his readers and us today that this promise was anticipated by the prophets. They were searching. It's like, God, how is this going to all end up? I wish I knew. I wish I could see with my own eyes how this would unravel. Verses 10 and 11 says this, concerning this wonderful salvation, the prophets who were prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. They searched, they asked, they investigated. But it was not for them to know. It was for us. They were actually ministering to us, even hundreds and thousands of years ago. We are the recipients. We are the beneficiaries. You all know God's servant, Daniel, right? Daniel was one of the prophets in the Old Testament too. And in Daniel chapter 12, it describes how God reveals something to Daniel. And Daniel was not able to fully comprehend what God was referring to. So Daniel was like, you know, when he received the message that God gave him, he's like, what is this? Like, what is this message all about? Like, God, what are you trying to talk? Like, what are you trying to tell people? And do you know what God said to Daniel? God said, Daniel, go your way. Go on. Just go. For the words had been shut up and sealed until the time of the end, until that time comes. So God was telling Daniel, I have a message for you that I want you to deliver to the people. But how this prophecy is going to come true in the future, that's not for you to know. Like, you don't need to know, but I want you to just deliver it. Like, I mean, if I was Daniel, right? I'd be like, God, come on. Like, give me a break. Throw me a bone. Like, I've been faithfully serving you, like, throughout the whole time. Like, you have called me to be your prophet, and you don't want me to know, like, what you're saying to the people? Can I at least understand a bit of it? So that I can be more confident and I sound maybe more convincing to the people, right? But God said no. God's like, go Daniel, go and deliver the word. In due time, when the time is right, this will come true. And it did. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, Son of God, came, broke into our world to save us. Peter here explains that the time of the end had finally come, and what Daniel sought to understand has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Amen? And Peter encourages these struggling Christians who are being persecuted that even as a prophet long ago, they sought to see the outcome of their prophecies. They did not, you know? They did not understand. But those same prophecies are fulfilled. And we can clearly see how all this played out when Jesus Christ came. So prophets, God uses prophets. Secondly, God uses preachers. God uses people like me, Pastor Anzik. I don't know why. Because, you know, I'm a messed up guy. I know there are some teens in this room, but when they look at me, they'll probably go, oh, he's a pastor. But actually, like, I'm nothing special. You can ask my wife, Jessica. I mess up. I sin. I say the things that I regret. I do, you know, I do things that I regret. Maybe one day Abe will tell you when he grows up. Like, I'm not even a perfect dad, good dad, even though I try, right? But God has placed me up here to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. Verse 12, Peter says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you. That's what preachers do. Do you know what a preacher is? A preacher is someone that God commissions, God calls, God sets apart to proclaim the good news of Jesus. In other words, a preacher is a servant of God's word. I'm a servant of the Bible to preach God's word. Not my own word, not my own knowledge or agenda, not my own ideology, but God's word. I don't know how many of you have ever heard, like, different, you know, guest speakers or preachers preaching. But I personally have heard preachers that, you know, they, you know, read a Bible verse, right? And you think that they're going to explain the Bible verse to you to help you understand what it means. But they read that Bible verse and then they start talking about, you know, different stuff. Like, have you ever experienced that before? Like, when are you going to get to the point? Like, when are you going to get to that Bible verse? Like, help me understand what that means, right? But they're going, talking about different sorts of things. As a preacher, as someone who preaches to you, I deliver to you what I have received from God, that which I have received, I deliver to you. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what a preacher does. The message of salvation has to come to us through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember the prophets? What were they doing? They looked ahead, right? They looked ahead and they told about the future that is to come. And what do preachers do? They look back, right? Preachers look at God's word, how God has fulfilled all of his promises in the Old and New Testament and delivers the word of God and promises of God that have come true to you. Now, one of the songs that I like to listen to and sing from time to time, the name of this song is called Show Us Christ, and I love the chorus part, and the lyric goes like this: Show us Christ, show us Christ. O God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word. I love it. It's like, God, show us. Show us. Reveal to us. Believe it or not, preaching, when you hear God's word, like right now, God is showing you. Like God is revealing himself to all of us. God is like, here I am. This is who I am. Through the preaching of God's word, God's glory will be revealed to people from all nation, every language and tribe, until all of God's children come and receive him as Lord, till every heart confesses Christ is Lord. I love how today's passage ends. No, the end of verse 12, things into which angels long to look. Things into which angels long to look. We don't talk enough about angels, do we? I think there are a lot of misunderstandings about angels, what they are, what they do, why they even exist. But it says today, though, in the passage that even angels desire to know what would happen when Jesus Christ appeared as a Savior. They were curious. Like even angels, they want to know. They long to look. The Bible says that angels have this intense interest in human salvation and what happens to human beings. Luke chapter 15:10 tells us that angels rejoice at the conversion of a sinner, even over one sinner who repents. When one sinner comes to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a party in heaven. They're like partying. They're rejoicing. They long to look. Think about it. Angels are longing to look. You know what that means? It literally means, let's say there's like a wall here, right? And they try to stoop, like to peer over, right? To see, or under, to sneak a peek, to obtain a better view, because they want to know what's going on, right? They will exert themselves, right? Inconvenience themselves to see. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says nothing about salvation for angels. Did you know that? Angels, they cannot be saved. Angels are not human beings. They're heavenly celestial beings, so to speak, that God created. They don't know. They cannot understand. They cannot perceive salvation. They don't know what that is. They learn about God, They learn about God's amazing grace and love through you. The way God interacts with you. That's why they're so curious. They're like, what's going on? Why is God so good to those messed up people? Like, you know, Ansik. What's the deal here? Why did God do that? He's so good. You? Listen carefully to me. All of you here have something that not even Old Testament prophets or the angels have. You have something that they never had. You are the recipients of the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is being preached to you right now, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, I urge you to believe it and be saved. Amen. The Message Bible that I love to read by Eugene Peterson, he translated this way, the end of verse 12. Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. Wow. Do you realize how fortunate you are? I hope and pray that all of you realize how fortunate you are. Third and finally, most importantly, God, our God, our Father uses His Son and the Holy Spirit to lead us to eternal life. God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to rise again from the dead for you. Can we think about that for a second? What kind of love is that? What father would give up his own son, right? What kind of father would give up his own son? Think about it. I mean, like, I love you all, right? Like, I love you all. I don't know some of you as well as I can, but I'm getting to know you, but I love you. But honestly, I don't know if I can sacrifice my son, Abe, for you. Like, he's my one and only son. Like, he's so cute, like, so lovely. I love him dearly. But I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. If I can say, you know what? In order to save all of you, I'm going to let him die. I'm going to let him die a horrible death, to be tortured to death. I don't know if I have it in me. But our Heavenly Father, He did not spare His one and only Son. He gave Him up for you. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit takes the gospel, the good news, what I'm preaching right now, and the Holy Spirit regenerates you inside out, makes you born again, turns your heart of stone into heart of flesh, makes you responsive, makes you thirsty and hungry for God. The Holy Spirit draws you. The Holy Spirit would draw God's people to respond to the gospel, to place their trust, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You all know John 3:16, right? I hope you know it by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You hear that call today? Receive Him. Receive Him as your Savior and your Lord. Receive Him. So, prophets, preachers, and the work of God Himself, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all these divine cast of characters lead us to eternal life, to salvation. And I hope you can see how all this story plays out. You know, I'm not a big fan of the novel Harry Potter, But when he first came out, do you all remember when he first came out? When it was first published? Yes? Like it became explosively like popular worldwide. And so everyone wanted to read Harry Potter. Like it was almost like a thing back then. I'm pretty sure most of you know how it was. And then the next series came out the next year. It got super popular as it was expected. Everyone wanted to read, trying to find out what happens next. And so I remember one time when I was little, like I was on my way to the library, that library that I used to go a lot, and because like I knew that they had one copy of this Harry Potter series. And on my way there, I was like, I hope it's there so that I can borrow that book. I hope it's there. But it wasn't there. But I wanted to borrow that book so badly. Why? To see how the story plays out. Not just me, like all the other, you know, people, they all wanted to borrow that book at the same time. Like they wanted to see how the story played out. Well, guess what? We know how the story ends. We know from start to finish. I'm not talking about Harry Potter here. I'm not talking about the movies, whatever. I'm talking about the glorious story of God's salvation, redemption for you and me. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Brothers and sisters, like any good movies or dramas or novels, important moments happen around a meal, right? Have you noticed that? Like in Korean drama, there's a lot of scenes where they're eating, right? They're so serious. Like they're actually serious about eating. Eating is important, right? Eating, drinking, these are not secondary, unimportant things in life. No. They're actually central to our survival, to our well-being, and to our connectedness to one another. Likewise, God has prepared a meal for us today. His own body and blood. He's not just host of this supper, right? But he himself is the meal. He's the meal. He gives himself to you. We will partake of communion, Lord's Supper. And we will be included in God's great divine story. Amen.